Can we? Can we stay positive in gossip? Well, this sermon and lesson and series and 1,000 others are on www.lifegatechurch.com. Anything you would want to study in God's Word probably can be found on www.lifegatechurch.com. 30 years or so of sermons and messages and teachings are there. And also, if you want to find us on Facebook, it's LifeGate, two words, LifeGate Church. Type that in and you'll find us. Welcome all those who are watching on the internet. We're glad you're here with us, and I hope you enjoy being here with us and praising the Lord and singing and having a good time. Well, we're in our series, and the series is, of course, called Smile, Staying Happy When negative things are happening in our lives. Can we do it? And see, there's a lot of negative things that happen. But God says, if you'll do the right things when the wrong things are happening, I'll bless your life. That's what I want to do. I want to bless you. I don't want things to go bad for you. I want things to go abundantly for you. And today what I want to talk about is smile, staying positive when I'm in slander, when I find myself wanting to slander or listen to slander, when slander is avoided. And I know I can stay positive if I'll avoid it. And that's what I really want to talk about today. Negative people are usually slanderous people. And slanderous people and people that gossip and spread tell-bearing and spread rumors and make innuendos, these kinds of people are, you'll usually find, very, very negative people, unblessed people. And the reason is because God turns his back on them. Now, I want you to see this today. I'm going to show you in just a few minutes. That's what God does. See, we all have an opportunity to put people down, to make people look bad. Every day we have an opportunity to do that. We hear something that we're not even sure is true, and we want to repeat it. There's something inside of us, and we go into this battle that we want to repeat things, even though we know they may not be true, right? And, you know, we don't think that we're being a bad person by doing that. We're just repeating something that we heard, right? Or maybe we do know something. We know something for a fact, that somebody messed up. They had a failure in life. They made a mess. They lied. They cheated. They did something wrong. And we know for a fact. We got all the inside information about it. We know exactly what happened. And we struggle. It's such a temptation, isn't it, to say that, to share that with somebody else. We want to talk about them. But see, we don't realize that we're in a battle. We're in a battle. Do I need to say everything that I know for sure happened? Do I need to repeat everything that I know for a fact is true? See, I don't think so. There's a lot of things that I know about me that I don't repeat. And they're bad. I don't want anybody to know them. I don't want you talking about it. I don't want to talk about it. And there are things about you in your life that you know happened to you, that you did, you messed up, you failed, and you don't want to talk about them. And you don't want anybody else talking about them. But somehow we feel it's still okay if we say it and tell it about somebody else. And I want us to understand that we're in a battle. It's a battle not to say it. And it's also a battle not to listen to it. You know, we get around slander and gossip, and we want to hear more. Tell me more. Tell me more. Something inside of us wants this. Tell me something. Tell me something juicy. Tell me something good about them. You know, what we don't... See, we're in a battle not to say it, but also not to listen to it. It's a battle that we're in. We really don't understand the battle. We know it's difficult not to do it, but we really don't understand what the battle is about. And today, I want you to see it. Because, see, we don't realize what's happening. We don't realize the problems that we're causing for our own lives. But hear me. The problems we're causing for our children and our grandchildren and our descendants. Now, this is what I really want us to see today. We got to understand this better. You will not have a positive life. You'll not have a good life. You'll not have a blessed life if you slander and if you gossip and if you talebear and if you make innuendos negatively about people. And if you do these things, I promise you, God's not going to bless your life. He's going to turn his back on you. Now, let's watch this. Let's see how this rolls out. I want you to look in the Bible with me at 1 Peter chapter 3. And I'm going to be reading out of the Message Bible, and it's because of one thing, how it says one thing that I really want to point out and hopefully use throughout our talk today. So 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 says this. Whoever wants to embrace life, hold life, get a good life. Whoever wants to embrace life and see the day fill up with good. How many want that? Isn't that what you want? Yeah, that's what I want. Well, here's what you do. Isn't that cool? Okay, now I want you to join in with me here. I want you to repeat that back to me. Would you, on the count of three, would you say, here's what I do. If I want to have a good life and embrace life and have a life that's filled with good days, here's what I do. Would you do that with me? Say it as loud as you will on the count of three. One, two, three. Here's... Yes, it is. Now watch what you got to do. Here it is. He says, first of all, there's four things he's going to tell us. First of all, say nothing evil or hurtful. Not just evil, but evil or hurtful, right? Say nothing. How much? Nothing. Don't add a little bit to it. Don't just give your comments to it or your thought. Add nothing to it. Say nothing that's evil or hurtful. If it has the potential to hurt somebody, don't say it. Second thing he says, and this is why I use in the Message Bible, snub evil. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean when you snub something? What is that? You ever think about that? What would that mean? Well, I've got two thoughts. One is like you snub out a cigarette. You know, you put it out. And the other thing is like, you know, you snub your nose at something. I don't want to have anything to do with that. You know, you snub it. So, what do we snub evil? You put evil out, or you get away from it. You turn your back on it, but you snub evil. Number three, you cultivate good. You cultivate good. You plant good. If you can't say something good, don't say nothing at all. Cultivate good. If you can't add positively to it, don't add anything to it. And then he goes on, and the fourth thing he says is run after peace for all you're worth. Don't chase after dissension. Don't chase after evil. Don't try to make somebody look bad. Try to bring peace to the situation. And then he says, if you'll do this, God looks on all this with what? Approval. Do you want God's approval? Well, this is what he wants to see. God looks on all this with approval. Now watch this part. Listening and responding well to what he's asked. What does that mean? He'll respond to your prayers. He'll respond to your prayers if you do those four things. And then finally, here's what I want us all to see. But he turns his back on those who do evil things. There is no favor of God. He turns his face from us. There's no blessings. There is no favor. There's no answer to our prayers. Our days are not filled with good things, but with bad things. Now, I don't know about you, but I really want God's approval. I want my days filled with good things. I do. I want God to respond well to my prayers. I want the favor of God on my life. And these are the four things that I need to do. You know, people will say, well, I don't have God's blessings on my life. You know, God's not answering my prayers. Things are going bad with me. It seems like every day is bad, bad, bad. Well, why is that? Have you investigated the possibility that you could be doing gossip and slander? You could be spreading evil things. You could be saying hurtful things to people. Have you thought about that? You're cultivating bad stuff, not good stuff. You're chasing after dissension, not good stuff. Have you thought about that? See, this is a primary reason why people aren't blessed of God. Because they don't know what they're doing when they talk about people, when they slander people, when they gossip people, when they stir up stuff. They don't understand it. See, if you want your days to be filled with good, if you want things to go well with you, you want God to answer your prayers and respond well to your prayers, and you want His favor upon your life, the blessings of God upon your life, there's four things you've got to do. Number one, you can't say anything evil or hurtful about anyone. Two, you got to snub it. You got to try to stop it or get away from it. Three, if you can't say something good, don't say anything at all. Cultivate good. And four, go after peace, not dissension. Don't keep stuff stirred up. You know what? If that one thing was to happen in our lives, just that one, this one principle right now, most of us could go to a new level. We could go to a new level of blessings, a new level of relationship with God, new level of blessings, just by doing it, just by disciplining ourselves in this one single area. We don't understand what problems this causes in our lives. God turns his back on those who won't do these things. That's interesting. You know, we live in a society that is filled with gossip and spreading rumors and making insinuations and, you know, tale-bearing and slandering people. Our society gets a big kick out of it. They love and enjoy kicking people when they're down. See, we have no problems getting online and putting it on the internet. Things about people, insinuations about people, and bad things about people. We get on the telephones. We'll talk to our five best buddies. we'll get at work and we'll start having conversations at work with people that sometimes we hardly know about other people. We'll talk about people at school, get together in our little groups, our little cliques, and we'll start talking about other people and other cliques and other groups. And we don't understand what we're doing to ourselves in life. These things are so bad. See, we have no problem being busybodies, keeping things stirred up, making talks and saying things about people, nosy busybodies. We have no problems at all doing those kinds of things. We don't think twice about saying something that we know isn't true, or even a half-truth. We make people look bad. We talk about people all the time. We leave out details that are necessary just to make our point and make somebody else look bad. Listen, we've got to be cautious. We've got to be careful here. Because what happens is this pulls you in. It's so tempting to listen to it. You're in a battle. It's so tempting to get pulled into this stuff and get this poison inside of you. And then you become a carrier of the poison. You're going to go tell somebody else, messes someone else's reputation up. You're going to go talk about somebody else. Oh, boy, have I got some good news to tell you. Have you heard what I heard? Boy, I've got some juicy information you're going to love. You better not love it. I'm telling you, this is bad. And our friends broadside us. I don't know if you thought about it. I was thinking about it. You know, the people we talk the most with are our friends. That means that the people that I hear the most rumors from are from whom? My friends. Now, we have to flip that over. So my friends are poisoning me. Now, flip that over. Who do our friends mostly talk to? Us. So who do our friends hear the most gossip and slander from? Us. We're poisoning our friends. We're poisoning one another, and we think it's okay. We get together, we have these little conversations. Next thing you know, we've drifted off into talking about somebody. Got negative about somebody, and we're talking about them. Well, Delbert, it's okay, isn't it, to tell my friends? I can't offend my friends. I can't tell my friends to stop talking about people, can I? It's safe with my friends. No, listen, you can get new friends. But what I want is I don't want God to turn his back on me. What I want is I want the blessings. I want my days filled with good. What I want is God to respond to my prayers. I want to be approved by God. I want the favor of God on me. I don't want him to turn his back. Yeah, but I can just tell one friend. Telling one friend won't hurt anything. Come on. It's safe with one friend. No, let me tell you what's going to happen. Your one friend is going to tell one friend, and your one friend, their one friend is going to tell one friend. And next thing you know is it's spread. You might as well take lighter fluid and squirt it all over it and light a match to it. It's gone now. It's gone out there, right? And it's never going to be told again the same way. Everybody's going to add a little bit to it, make it a little juicier, a little more spicy. Everybody's going to add something to it, and it's going to get bigger, and the truth is going to become twisted. And next thing you know, a lie is going to be added, an exaggeration is going to be added. And the next thing you know is someone's reputation is ruined because of you telling one friend. You've destroyed somebody by just telling one friend. What it needs to do is die inside of you. It needs to stop. It needs to be snubbed. It needs to be put out with you. That's where it needs to end. Now, what if you get broadsided by this stuff? You know, you find yourself in a situation, maybe you have some information about someone, and somebody comes to you, and they know that you probably have got some inside information on this, and so they come, and they're nosy, and they're busybodies, and they just want to come, and they want to pick you, and they want to see, get you talking. They go, they're broadside you with something. Well, I'm going to tell you a story later on about a personal incident that I had. And I'm being very cautious about doing it because I don't want to do exactly what I'm talking about not doing. But at the same time, I want you to know and I want you to kind of understand how to handle these things. But I heard it said this way, and I thought it was really good, a great illustration. Each of us carry with us a can of lighter fluid and a bucket of water. And we can either squirt the lighter fluid on it and ignite it and make it worse. Or we can do what God says to do. We can douse it. We can snub it. We can throw the water on the thing and put it out. That's the battle. See, that's where we go into battle. Which one are we going to do? Which one am I going to do when this thing happens? Now, you know something. It's so tempting to not say it. They messed up. They lied. They did something wrong. They got caught. And they failed. They did something really, really bad. They did. You know it. You know all about it. But what are you going to do? Are you going to add a little fire to it, flame to it? You're going to make it worse? Are you going to do what God says to do and throw the water on that thing and snub it and douse it? Which one will you do? What do most people do? Oh, I could just add a little lighter fluid. You know, just a little lighter fluid is not too bad. No. What is your responsibility? What is the responsibility that you have? Is your responsibility to expose it? See, we've gone through situations, even in church, where we're wanting to do what the Bible says to do and cover a fault, cover a failure. But the person, I'm not going to cover it. I'm going to expose it. What do most people do? Do they use their lighter fluid or do they use their water? What is your responsibility? To spread it or to snub it? So I want you to see, I want you to understand this and understand the seriousness of this is in our lives and the blessings that it blocks and stops from our lives. Look at Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 12. Hatred stirs up dissension. Now, when we say things about people, we don't consider ourselves being hateful. We don't think we're hating someone, but God does. See, when you spread this stuff, When you spread this dissension, when you squirt your lighter fluid just a little bit, when you spread it, what you've become, you're showing something inside of you. You're showing a negative part of inside of you. You're showing hate inside of you. When you talk about people, you're not loving them. When you talk negatively about somebody, you certainly aren't loving them. You are hating them. And he goes on, hatred stirs up dissension, but love what? Love what? Love covers. Everybody say covers. Love covers how many? All what? All wrongs. How many? All wrongs. Lord, how many times should I forgive somebody? Seven times? 70 times seven? Every time. And he goes on, and 1 Peter says something very similar. Peter does in 4:8, says this. Above all, love each other how? Deeply. Deeply. Because love covers what? Over a multitude, all kinds of sin. It covers all wrongs, and it covers a multitude of sins, all kinds of wrongs, all kinds of sins. I want you to see how serious this becomes. See, what you can't do is don't go to the phone and call your five best buddies. Don't get online and post it on Facebook. Don't do that. That's not love. What love is covering. Love is saying, yeah, they messed up. They did. Love is saying they messed up. They failed. They had a failure. They made a mistake. And what love is saying, but I'm not going to add to their pain. I'm not going to add to their embarrassment. I'm not going to add to their humiliation by spreading it. I am going to use my bucket. It's going to stop. I'm going to snub it right now. That's what we need to do. See, that's what love is. Love covers it. And it's just as bad to listen to this stuff as it is to say it. Now, we don't really see it that way. We don't think it's as bad to listen to it as it is to say it, but it is. I'm about to show you. How many does it at least take to do gossip and to do slander? It takes at least two, right? One mouth and at least one ear on different people. It's not gossip or slander until there's two that are doing it. And the hearer is just as guilty as the listener, right? And here's what the scriptures say. Proverbs 17, verse 4 says this, a wicked man listens to evil lips. Now, we don't consider ourselves as wicked or have done anything wrong if we just listen to it. But God does. God says listening to this stuff makes you wicked. He says, wicked man listens to evil lips, and a liar pays attention to a malicious tongue. Listening to this stuff makes you a liar. We don't feel that that's what's happening. We don't feel that we're being a bad person because we listen to it, but we are. It's just as bad. Look at Proverbs 21:28. A false witness will what? Will perish. They're doomed. You go around lying about people and spreading stuff about people that's not true, you're doomed. You're going to perish. And it says this, and whoever listens to him, to the person spreading the lie, will be destroyed forever. The person who says it will perish, but the person who listens to it will be destroyed. You've got to break this thing. We've got to stop this thing. It's destroying us. It's messing us up. And what I want us to see is God takes this serious. He turns his back on people who do this. God turns his back on people who do. See, I want in my life, I want God to favor me. I want the favor of God in my life. I want my prayers answered. I want God to listen to me well. I want my days filled with good things. I want God's approval. And the way I will get them is by doing the four things that we're talking about doing. I can't. If I find myself trapped in this stuff, I'm sitting at a table perhaps and gossip starts, and slander starts on somebody. I have got to excuse myself if I'm not going to stop it. I have got to I've got to go make a phone call. I've got to get out of here and go get away from that thing. Or I've got to have a sudden urge to go to the men's room. Or maybe, you know, wherever you need to go. But you got to come up with some reason to get away from that stuff. You got to snub it. If you really want to be brazen about it, say, listen, let's don't talk about them. Let's just join hands right now and let's pray for them. I'll tell you what. I'll guarantee you that'll snub it right there. People start crawling. Oh, I wasn't talking about it. Yes, you were. You know, you want to say, yes, you were. But I'm not going to be a participant in that. I am going to love them. Yeah, they made a mistake. They messed up. But I don't want to be a part of adding to it. I'm not going to fuel it. I'm not going to fire it. I want God's approval on my life. I want God's blessings upon my life. See, you got to find a way to get away from that thing. And we don't realize it, but we're in such a battle. You know, the last thing that you can possibly do is allow your ears to become trash cans for somebody's trash and garbage to be dumped into. The last thing you want to do is become a poison carrier. And you know, we're in a battle and we don't really understand why we're in this battle or what this battle is really about and what this battle is really over. I want to tell you, I want to show you right now, it's about your children. It's about your children. Your children are going to be defiled and will work into destruction if you, parent, listen to this stuff and participate in slander and gossip. Now, I want to show you this. The Bible gives us a really good story about Noah. After the flood, but just thinking about that, I was looking at it, counting up the days. That do you know how many days Noah was actually in that ark, in that boat? Listen, it was a lot. It rained 40 days and 40 nights, but that was the small part. If I add up the days that he was actually went into the ark, then the flood and rain started, and he was in the ark until the ark settled, it's like 197 days. That's 6.5 months that he was cooped up with stinky animals and relatives. Now, I don't know which one was worse, but whether... But can you imagine 6.5 months with your relatives? Oh! Listen, I have a hard time with one day of a reunion. Well, we don't even do a day, just a couple of hours, and I'm thinking, oh, God! No wonder Noah had a drinking problem. And the only reason that we know Noah had a drinking problem is because gossip and slander and rumors and insinuations and tale-bearing. Let me read this to you. Genesis chapter 9, verse 21. One day he, Noah, became drunk on some wine he had made. And laid naked in his tent. Ham, now watch this. Don't miss this part. This is the most important part. Ham, the father of Canaan. Now, as I read through this, you're going to see that Canaan really didn't have a dog in this fight. I mean, Canaan wasn't involved in it. He wasn't in the tent. He had nothing really to do to it. But here the Lord makes sure that we realize that Ham is the father of Canaan. Ham, the father of Canaan, saw that his father was naked and went outside and what? Spread his lighter fluid. Told his brothers. Now, it's just his brothers. Surely he could tell his brothers, right? It's safe with the brothers. Told his brothers. Shem and Japheth took a robe held it over their shoulders, and walked backward into the tent. They didn't wait until they got in the tent to put the robe on and to cover up their dad. They didn't even go into the tent until they had the robe in position. And they walked into the tent and covered their father's naked body. As they did this, they looked the other way so they wouldn't see him naked. Now, see it and understand. Here is Noah, the father of the new world, mightily used by God. Very, very powerful, important man in the scriptures. There he is, drunk, passed out, naked, laying there in his tent. Now, I got to give him a little mercy. Because it's wrong. It was wrong. He had a failure. He drank too much. He's drunk. He's passed out. That's wrong. It is. But he's in his tent. Right? And that's what 1 Corinthians 11 says. If you're going to do it at home. Right? If you're going to do it, if you're going to mess up, do it. Mess up at home. Right? So this is what he was. So my question isn't that so much as it is, why's Ham in there? What's Ham doing in his dad's tent? He's just in there as a nosy busybody. He's in there looking for something to gossip and talk about. He's just in there. He shouldn't be in there. So he's in there and he does. He pulls out his lighter fluid and he just puts it all over everything and lights a match to it. And he goes out. He tells his brothers. Oh, you ought to go in there and see Dad. He has passed out. He's so drunk. Oh, he's laid in there in his own vomit. He's just a mess. You ought to go in there. He's naked. Spread it out. Lied to make it worse. Now, was it true? Was it true? Was he in there naked, passed out? Yep. But did it need to be told? Could it have stopped right there? Would Shem and Japheth even have to know about it? No. But it didn't. He just told two people. So here's what happened. Shem and Japheth, they hear about this and they do the opposite. They put their lighter fluid down. They pick up their buckets of water. And they walk in backwards. And they cover up Noah. They didn't want that image even stuck in their heads. That would be an image, wouldn't it? Oh, naked Noah laying in there, passed out. They didn't want that in there. Noah was a great man. They didn't want to think that way about their dad. They didn't want to think that way about anybody. And that's what we do when we uncover somebody, when we observe their nakedness and their mess ups and their failures in life. We get this image in it and it destroys a part of them to us. So they go in there naked and they use their water and they cover up their father. They didn't want that. Yeah, he messed up. Yeah, he's in there. Dad messed up. He failed. He had a failure in life. He drank too much. Yeah. But Dad's a good guy. Look at all the good Dad did. Look at all the good Noah did. I don't want people thinking that about my dad. I don't want people thinking that about you. I don't want people thinking that about anybody. Let's look at the good. Let's don't look at the bad. So Noah eventually is going to wake up. See, people you talk about are eventually going to wake up. And they're going to know what you said about them. Whether it's good or whether it's bad. And this is exactly what happened. Chapter 9, verse 24. Well, when Noah woke up from his drunken stupor, he learned what Ham, his youngest son, had done. What Ham, his youngest son, had done. And he also knew what Shem and Japheth did as well. But he knew what Ham had done. Then he... Now watch. Then he cursed the descendants of Ham or Canaan. The son of Ham who had done the gossip and the slander. He cursed the descendants of Canaan, the son of Ham. A curse on the Canaanites. May they be the lowest of servants. Listen, they're going to have a lot of servants, but they're going to be the lowest of servants to the descendants of Shem and Japheth. Then Noah said, may Shem be blessed by the Lord my God, and may Canaan be his servant. May God enlarge the territory of Japheth, and may he share the prosperity of Shem. And let Canaan be his servant, because he's the lowest. Now, why? Why Canaan? See, here's the deal. Here's what we need to understand, parents, is that when we gossip and we slander, our children hear it. Their ears become trash cans filled with your poison. You're gossiping and slandering this person and that person. You're spreading rumors about this person. You make all these nasty insinuations about them. You tailbear. You backbite. And it fills them up and they become you. And God's not going to bless it because God turns his back on people that do that. So if you're doing this at home, you're destroying your own children. Have you ever thought about it? See, we see it all the time. You see it. We all see it. That people who are gossip and slander, they're so negative. They go through life, bad things happening to them. And you look at their children, they just follow the same path. They're always low. They're always the bottom. Have you ever wondered why it is that some children just seem to go to the top so easily? Everything they do, they go to the top. But some children, no matter how hard they try, they can never get off the bottom. It's your fault, parent. You have destroyed your own children. You lost the battle. We see the opposite just as true. Parents who refrain, chase after, run after the peace, go after peace. Parents who refuse to say anything negative or evil or harmful to about anyone. Parents who snub this stuff. As soon as they hear it, they snub it out. Parents who cultivate good and not evil. Parents who really want the best of people and see the best in people. We look at their children, they go to the top. See, Shem could have done, say it again, Ham could have done the same thing Shem and Japheth did. But he just chose to run his lighter fluid. And Shem and Japheth decided they were going to use their water buckets. See, the blessings on your life and the blessings upon the lives of your children are dependent upon how you handle slander and gossip and tale-bearing. How you handle rumors. And it's what you get to pass on, the blessing you get to pass on to your children. Your children can stay at the bottom, or your children can go to the top. It's all dependent upon how you personally embrace life. It's how you personally handle slander and backbiting and tale-bearing and rumors and gossip. How do you do? How do you do? How your children do it? Hey, we need to make the decision. We make the determination what we're going to do in life. How our children are going to be blessed in life. I told you earlier that I was going to tell you a story, a personal story that happened with me. This was years back, and I try to do stories like this that were years back. And so many of you weren't here and don't have a clue as to what I'm talking about. But I had a minister come in and minister for several days here, and I saw this person as a mentor to me, sort of, in sorts. He was a great teacher. He was a friend, I thought. And he was here, and he ministered several days. And the last service that we had, a pastor had come to visit him and see him. He was his friend, and that was okay. But after the service was over, I noticed that he and this pastor that had come to see him were sort of off by themselves talking. They were back there in that corner. And they were back there kind of talking. Well, I didn't like that for two reasons. One reason is he's supposed to be talking to you. You know, he's here to minister to you. He's not here to minister to that pastor. He needs to go to his church if he's going to minister to that pastor. You know, he's here to minister to you. And I didn't like that, number one. But number two, I just didn't like the way they looked. Something about it aggravated something inside and irritated something. I didn't say anything about it. I didn't mention it. Well, after the thing was over, we go to our house. And Judy makes us some sandwiches, and so we go out, and we're sitting in the living room just relaxing, and that's what we did every time. We were just chilling and just relaxing, had our plates and our laps and just sitting there and talking. Well, he broadsides, he slanders a friend of mine, and he blasts him pretty hard. And what was amazing is that what he was saying was true. What the accusations and the things that he was saying about him were accurate. And I knew. I had firsthand information. I knew. I was there. I knew what had happened. But he was slandering him. Now, he had been to my other pastor's places, to my other friend's place as well, and my other friend had blessed him really well, and he thought he was his friend too. But there he was, slandering him to me. Well, I laid my plate off to the side, and Judy was sitting over here, and she says, "Oh, no. This is not going to be good." She didn't know whether to get out of the room or what to do, but she knew that I wasn't going to do that. I wasn't going to allow this to happen. I laid it beside me. I leaned forward and looked him in the eyes. And I said, "Let me tell you something." I said, "He's my friend. And you're not going to slander him. And I'm not going to talk about him." Now, I could have got out my can of lighter fluid. I could have squirted it real good. I knew all of it. I could have squirted it really well. I could have made it worse. But I said, "You're not going to talk about him. He's my friend. But even if he wasn't, you have no right to talk about him. He's done nothing but blessed you. And here you are slandering him, and you're not going to slander him in my presence or in my home." He starts crawfishing. You know, we always do when we get caught. You know, he said, "Oh, I didn't mean to talk bad about him. I just think it needs to be corrected." And I said, "No, you didn't. What can you do to correct it? You can't do anything to fix it." I said, "All you wanted to do is talk about it." Well, of course, tension in the room. I mean, you know. and it did. It broke our relationship. He never would come back here again. But that's okay. See, I can get another friend. And I can get a lot of pastors and preachers to come here and preach. That's not a problem. See, but I don't want God to turn his back on me. I want God's blessings on my life. I want his favor. I want him to respond well to my prayers. I want my days filled with good things. And I know that's what you want as well. See, this is what I want us to see. And that we need to see this as a test, actually. When we enter into these times of talking and gossiping and slandering, and it's such a test, it's such a battle not to, or when we come into these times of even listening to it, we need to see it as a test. Because how we handle it, whether we listen to it or whether we repeat it, whether we do it ourselves, determines the blessings, not only on our life, the destruction that happens to my life, but also to my children and my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren and my descendants to come. What I do concerning gossip and slander determines whether they're going to stay the lowest or be able to raise to the highest. And this is what I really want us to see today. See, there's a battle. It is so hard, isn't it, not to do it. It's so hard not to listen to it. It's a real battle, but it's a test on you. And it determines the blessings or the cursings on your life and on your children's life. And another thing that it does, and I'll finish up with this particular point, is see, when I mess up in life, and I have messed up in life, I wanted God's mercy. Right? You know, when you mess up, and you will if you haven't, you'll mess up. And what you want is God's mercy. You don't want people talking about you negatively. You want them to cover you and restore you, right? This is what we all really want. But it's determined by how much mercy you give. See, the mercy that God gives to you and covers you when you mess up is directly dependent upon the mercy that you've given. This is exactly what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 7. Here's what it says. "Blessed are the merciful." Why? Why are they blessed? "For they will be shown mercy." See, that is a blessing. When you've messed up, and somebody is there to cover you, and I've had it happen several times, when somebody is there to protect you and restore you, listen, that is a blessing. But it's directly dependent upon how much mercy you have given. If you haven't given any mercy, don't expect any. But if you've been a merciful person, then you can be certain that God is going to show you mercy. That's what he said. It's directly dependent upon how much mercy you have given to somebody else. All right? Now, this is the way it works. So, see, we need to see it. Gossip, slander, backbiting, tail-bearing, insinuations, and those. We need to see it as something that we should stop. It should be our responsibility to stop it right there, to end it, to snub it right there. "Yeah, but Delbert, they made such a big mistake. I mean, man, it was horrible. Don't you think it needs to be exposed? They made a big mistake." Ask you a question. Have you ever made a big mistake? What did you want? Did you want to do it? And we don't have time to look at all these scriptures, but in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, it says this: you who are spiritual, you who have really have a relationship with the Lord, you who are spiritual, restore such an one, but be cautious yourself, lest you fall into the same temptation. See, you need somebody to restore you. Not somebody who will cover you. Somebody who will help you. Not talk about you. Not expose you. That's what you need in life. That's what you want. One day, Jesus was teaching. And these mean religious people come. And they have caught this woman in adultery. In the very act. And they come dragging her before him. Master, teacher, don't you think we should stone her? He didn't even want to get involved in it. He didn't want to say anything. What did he do? He knelt down and he started scribbling in the dirt. He didn't want to get involved in it, period. They kept pressing him. What do you think? What do you think? Finally, he stands up. He says, you guys ever made a mistake? Any of you ever made a mistake? Well, if you haven't, if you've never made a mistake, then you squirt the lighter fluid. You throw the stone. And see, and when we look at it from that perspective, we do exactly what they did. We drop our lighter fluid and we walk away. It changes how you think about things when you realize that there was a time you made a mistake. This person's made a mistake. It may be true. You may not even know it's true. But whatever you do, don't fuel it. It will destroy you and your children. So what do you think? How about you? Don't you really want God to approve you? Don't you really want God to bless your life and your days to be filled with good things? Don't you want God to pay attention to your prayers and respond well to your prayers, answer your prayers? Don't you want the favor of God on your life? You don't want his back turned on you. You want his favor, the favor of God on your life, don't you? Don't you want his mercy? Don't you want his mercy on your life? I do, you see. Well, here's what you do. Four things. Number one, say nothing evil or hurtful about anyone. Number two, snub it. If you possibly can, put it out. If you can't put it out, get up and walk away from it. Number three, cultivate good. If you can't say something good, don't say anything at all. Number four, pursue. Go after peace with all your worth. All you can. That's what you're after. Don't stir up stuff. Don't cause dissension. If you'll do those things, God's going to bless your life. Put away your lighter fluid. Fill up your buckets with water. Go and douse this stuff. Snub this stuff out. Smile. Staying positive because you have avoided gossip and slander. God approves of these things. Let's pray.